Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Hundreds gathered Tuesday for the historic inauguration of Stephen Reed as mayor of Montgomery. Nine city council members were also sworn into office at the ceremony. Charles Jenright was named city council president. Republican Charlotte Meadows wins the special election for House District 74. She had 68.9% of the vote against Democrat Rayford Mack. The special election was to fill the seat left vacant after Dimitri Palizos died earlier this year. Voter turnout was 7.81%. And Montgomery firefighters were called to three separate fires in just 1 hour last night. They happened on Calmar Drive, Thomas Avenue, and Forest Grove Drive between 6 and 7 o'clock. Fire investigators have not said if anyone was hurt or what caused these fires. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Why would anybody buy zero-turn riding mower this time of year? Hey, folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power with five reasons why now is the best time to buy a new or used Hustler zero-turn mower. First, due to the lack of rain this summer, we're having a drought sale, saving you hundreds on all remaining 2019 Hustler ZTRs. Second, the 2019 Hustler demo mowers are now available, saving you over $2,000 on slightly used Hustlers that still have the full factory warranty. Third, avoid the 2020 price increases due to the steel tariffs. Fourth, 0% interest financing or no payment until April 2020. And finally, if you're a landscaper, you can write it off on this year's taxes. Bottom line, there's really only one reason to buy now. Save lots of money. Hustler Zero Turn Mowers at CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Pier Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
A jaw-dropping 200 million people are staring into the face of a deadly winter-like blast, bringing bone-chilling temperatures and heavy snow to many places.
Public impeachment hearings get underway with two career diplomats testifying about the Ukraine call.
The Supreme Court says the families of Sandy Hook school shooting victims can sue a gun maker.
Disney Plus is currently experiencing very slow loading speeds, with many reporting waiting 30 minutes or more to load content.
The Supreme Court heard oral arguments whether the DACA program should stay or be ended by the Trump administration.
This is about people. This is about lives. And this administration is making this about politics.
America's largest milk producer, Dean Foods, is bankrupt. Company reps say it's because people are just drinking less of it these days.
Ricky Gervais will once again host the Golden Globes for what he says will be the fifth and last time, January 5th, 2020.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. You're getting the hearing from our eyes. We're taking what we think is good testimony and the proper handling of stuff. We're playing that. We're doing Ratliff right now. Let's listen. Let's continue on.
In this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
Mr. Ratliff, if I can just respond, let me just reiterate that I'm not here.
I've got 1 minute left.
I know you only got a minute left. I've just got 30 seconds. You asked the witness a question. I'll withdraw the question.
Let me just make this point. I'm not here to take one side or the other.
That's your
Ambassador,
decision.
Let me answer this.
The general will suspend.
Spend the time,
Ambassador Taylor, would you like to answer the question?
Suspend the time, please. I withdrew the question.
The gentleman will suspend. We will suspend the clock.
Suspend the clock and 1 minute, please.
Ambassador Taylor, would you like to respond to the question?
Mr. Ratliff, I would just like to say that I'm not here to do anything having to do with to decide about impeachment. That is not what either of us are here to do. This is your job.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Restore time to the clock to 1 minute.
No, but you may continue 22 seconds.
Fine. Mr. Ambassador, I think everyone knows that House Democrats have made up their mind to impeach one president. The question that we've just learned is whether or not they're prepared to impeach two. Because to be clear, if House Democrats impeach President Trump for a quid pro quo involving military aid, they have to call President Zelensky a liar. If they impeach him for abusing his power or pressuring or making threats or demands, they have to call President Zelensky a liar to do it. If they impeach President Trump for blackmail or extortion or making threats or demand, they have to call President Trump a liar to do it. I yield back.
Chair recognizes Representative Sewell.
I yield a few minutes to my esteemed chairman.
Thank you. Ambassador Taylor, I don't know if you've had a chance to read that some of the transcripts have been released. Are you aware that other witnesses have testified that Ukraine, in fact, found out the aid was being withheld before it became public knowledge?
Mr. Chairman, I've read that. I think there's still some question about when they may have heard.
And ultimately, they did find out when the political story came out, to your knowledge, but others have said even sooner. But they did find out, right, Ambassador?
They did, Mr. Chairman.
And at the time they found out, they knew what President Trump wanted from them, that he wanted these investigations, correct?
Ambassador Sondland informed President Zelensky's staff, that is, Mr. Yermak, of what was required, yes.
So Ukraine finds out about the hold. You're not able to give them a reason for the hold. No one is able to give them a reason for the hold. They know the president wants these investigations. And then they're told in Warsaw by Ambassador Sondland, essentially, you're not getting the aid unless you do these investigations, correct?
That's correct.
So, you know, you've been asked, how could there be conditioning if the Ukrainians didn't know? But Ukrainians were told by Ambassador Sondland, were they not?
They were. They didn't know, as near as I can tell, the Ukrainians did not know about the hold on the phone call on July 25th. That's true. But they were told, as you said, Mr. Chairman, on the 1st of September.
And in fact, while they may not have known during the time of the call, they would find out. And when they did find out, they would know what the president wanted, correct?
That's correct.
Representative Sewell.
So, Mr. Kent, I'd like to refer you to the discussion of the May 23rd meeting in the Oval Office when the president met with those who had gone to the Ukraine for the inauguration. You briefly testified that you helped propose names for individuals to go to that inauguration. Was Ambassador Sondland, who was the ambassador to the European Union, one of the names that you submitted?
No, it was not.
But he ultimately attended that inauguration, is that not right?
That is correct.
And do you know how he ended up as a part of that official delegation?
I do not know for sure, but my understanding is once the list left the NSC staff, it went through a review through the part of the White House that determines presidential delegations.
You also testified that upon returning, Ambassador Sondland used his, quote, connections with Mulvaney, end quote, in order to secure this meeting in the Oval Office. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
It seems that this Oval Office meeting was a pivotal turning point in the Ukraine policy. Coming out of that meeting, who was given responsibility, to your recollection, who was given responsibility for the Ukraine policy?
I never saw any document that changed the nature of policy determination. In the U.S. government under the Trump administration, there's the National Security Presidential Memorandum.
Didn't you also say, have a little time, you did say in your testimony that you felt that you testified that Secretary Perry, Ambassador Sondland, and Ambassador Volker, quote, felt that they had a mandate to take the lead, end quote, on Ukraine policy. Did you not?
That was an accurate statement. Their feeling doesn't mean that they actually got delegated responsibility.
Have you ever heard the term three amigos?
I referenced that after watching Gordon Sondland say that on Ukrainian TV on July 26th.
And what do you come to mean by three amigos?
My understanding of Ambassador Sondland's use of that term is that the three people that were in charge of Ukraine policy during the summer were he, Gordon Sondland, Ambassador Volker, and Secretary Perry.
What did you come to? When did you come to learn about Mr. Giuliani's role, and what do you consider his role to have been?
I first heard about former Mayor Giuliani's interest in Ukraine in January of this year. That was a different phase than what happened during the summertime.
Hi, that's Terry Sewell of Alabama, by the way, that's asking the questions. The problem is she's going down a path that doesn't make any sense. The president can do whatever he wants to. He can send people anywhere and do things, so it's not... that's not unusual at all. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Eric. Eric, welcome aboard the Demo Show.
Good afternoon, guys. I've been flipping channels in and out on it myself. There's this one guy on there, I don't know, Dan, you haven't worked and lived in Washington, and over the this guy is an anti-corruption lawyer. And according to what they reported, this position was appointed a little over 8 years ago, which would have meant that Obama would have appointed this position. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right.
And the guy, one of the guys said, what exactly is it that you do? And you know, I am an expert. He kept bringing that up. I am an expert. Well, that who qualifies you to be an expert? You don't consider yourself to be an expert. I can go in there and say, well, hell, I'm a pilot. I'm an expert pilot. Does that mean I get the job? But this guy got it. So, I mean, you've been in that loop. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you were corrupt, but, I mean, how do they come up with these positions?
Well, that's a great question. The problem is, who do you get to fill the position? And are they a career diplomat? Because there are a certain number of career diplomats, and you have to move them around in the pool, and that may be what's happened. One of the things the Trump administration was lowly blessed with, and that is they did not have a lot of people to put in government, and so they had a lot of holdovers. They had a lot of people that they pulled out of professional organizations, and they ended up being people like this.
Yeah. Now, at the time that you were there under Reagan, did you ever in your life see it as much? I don't even have a word for what's going on. I mean,
it was bad for Reagan. We got a lot of pushback from bureaucrats. It was a running joke, particularly in the advanced staff when we would go overseas.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many people go up against the president like they do Trump.
I mean, I'm not quite up in the age bracket with yourself, but I mean, I'm over 50, but I don't recall anything like that. And I hope and pray that Democrat or Republican never president goes through this.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have to fix it.
We've got so much other priorities that need to be taken care of right now through the House that it's not going any place. It's just at a stand. You know good and well that there's plenty that can be done through Congress, but they're so hell-bent on getting this guy, nothing is being done.
Yep, and it's kind of like, he's guilty, now let's let the impeachment begin.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I enjoy both of you guys. I told Jay, I said, do you ever take a little bit of time off? I said, you work 20 hours a day. He said, no, I get 4 hours a night.
Yeah, I got to sleep sometimes, Eric.
Yeah, y'all enjoy your show, fellas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Let's go to Papa B. Papa B, welcome aboard.
Hey, Dan.
How are you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing great. Just real quick about Sweet Creek, man. We went down there Saturday, and of course we picked up our Boston Butt, and which is a great value, by the way.
Oh, man. Isn't that thing huge?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm going to be eating pork for a month here, just and of course we're both trying to be kind of keto friendly, okay? So we did get I believe it's Turkey Club sandwiches, which is our favorite actually. And we got moonshine pickles. I don't know if you've ever tried.
Whoa! Really. Moonshine pickles.
Moonshine pickles.
Tell me about them.
It doesn't have a dill taste. It has moonshine taste,
Not that you know what moonshine tastes like.
Well, I never knew before, right?
See?
But they don't have they don't have them in spears. They just have them in like the little slices, like you put on a sandwich or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they were delightful, actually. And then I actually got some pickled okra, which is one of my favorites as well. I got a T-shirt, Sweet Freak T-shirt.
Oh, right, get the T-shirt.
We got some of the smoked cheese. We got some dried fruit and pecans. Some of those pecans down there that they have different like coatings for, white chocolate, black chocolate, and then glazed. And golly bum, I know there's some things I'm missing, but sauces. There was there's like two or three different kinds of salsas that we got. One of them was a strawberry jalapeno salsa.
Ooh.
And what you do is you put that on some cream cheese and use it as a dip. And it's very, very good. You need to try that if you haven't. And, but anyway, had a great time down there. Met Reed and Karen for the second time. They didn't, remember me or anything, but that's all right. I've only seen them once before. Awesome people, though.
Really, they are. I'm telling you, they run a great operation.
That, man, that place was just hopping.
Yeah.
I mean, right before game, we were right there at game time just about, and it was still going strong. I was really surprised. Usually business is kind of evacuated by the time it gets within.
Well, they told me, I just missed you down there, I understand.
Yeah, they told me you were coming, but I had to go. I mean, we'd already spent an hour down there. But anyway, had a great time and, really enjoyed it. And, of course, Mama D is
ecstatic.
Just on the place now. So
yeah, she's ecstatic. She loves you again, right?
She does. I'm out of the doghouse. That's my secret weapon to get out of the doghouse is to take her to Sweet Creek.
There you go. When all else fails, go to Sweet Creek.
There you go. Okay, so, this impeachment fiasco, boy, Jim Jordan just destroyed them. And, not Jim Jordan, but Mark Meadows just destroyed them in it. And as soon as the Republicans got a chance to really counter all the setup, that they had well orchestrated so well. Their witnesses there are just melting away. I'm more interested in the perception that the American people have of all of this. And I think that after just a little bit, it starts getting lost in the weeds on people. I don't think that it, is making much sense once the Republicans are able to really hone in on these, if you're going to call them witnesses, whatever you want to call them, and that their message is just kind of getting muddled and lost in the weeds somewhere. There's no clarity. And there's not like a single statement, talking point is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, they don't.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, from what I've seen, the Democrats don't have a coherent message. The Republicans have very much a coherent message. I didn't see Mark Meadows ask questions. When did that happen? I saw Jim Jordan. I saw Nunes.
Jim Jordan. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm getting them mixed up.
Okay. Jim Jordan was outstanding. Yeah, the one I played, he was outstanding.
Yes, he was. And, golly, I don't know what the other guy's name is, but he, the one that asked him, what's the crime?
Yeah, Ratcliffe.
Oh, my gosh. That pregnant pause right there just killed him. What's the crime? Where's the, y'all are here to accuse the president of crimes. Where's the crime? Nothing. I mean, crickets. So, it's things like that, now the American people, I think, pretty much saying, okay, well, let's see what else is on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't believe they're getting any traction with this.
Well, let me tell you what's going to be important here is how the media plays, how the news media plays it tonight. So I'm going to be looking very closely at ABC, NBC, and CBS and see how they are going to present this to the general American public, because the American public is not watching this. The turnoff factor of this was about 2 hours ago.
Yeah, Well, don't we already know how the mainstream media is going to play it, though, Dan?
Well, you know, I can get on my knees and pray. Oh, by the way, did you hear Nancy Pelosi talking about we're prayerfully considering? I wanted somebody in the press to say, when you pray, Madam Speaker, do you get on your knees? That would out her, her in a second.
Yeah, that would. That'd trigger her right there. You know, I think that what they really want to do, I think, is impeach him without actually impeaching him.
Yeah, they want to bloody. They just want to bloody his nose.
If they could get away with, you know, just a bloody nose kind of thing and then say, oh, well, we'll just wait for the election or something like that, you know. But I don't think that by the time they get to an actual vote for articles of impeachment, I don't know if they're going to have the support for it, though, Dan. I don't think this is going much farther than Schiff's little circus show there.
So you think they're not going to have a majority vote? You don't think they have 219 votes?
Well, they could, but then they're going to risk, if they have that, they're going to risk, you know, losing those seats because of the scant little, you know, ideological evidence that they might have based on the overwhelming, hey, you know, these folks are just out to impeach a president no matter what.
Yeah.
They're in a box in the dilemma there. You know,
I think the Dems are going to get locked up in this thing, and this is really going to backfire on them. I think Nancy Pelosi only did this because her speakership was in danger.
Yes, that is exactly right. The AOC plus three.
Well, it's more than that. It was a whole bunch of people, including Nadler and Schiff and all these kind of folks, and Stalwell, who really were pushing for this and felt that she wasn't doing the country right if she didn't do this.
We've got to have another bite at the apple. We've had two shots to get the president. Now, this is the third time, you know, and it's not going to go anywhere either. But, you know, she was bound, right, to have to do it. Because there's so much vocal support for the impeachment.
There you go.
But anyway, guys, thank you for letting me call, and thank you for that nice little trip to Sweet Creek. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. You deserve it very, very much. Papa B, have a wonderful day. News Time 93.1, we're going to be back right after this.
Show. The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. With PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A retired Air Force pilot in Pike Road was experiencing some turbulence with his money. So he called Alabama Home Mortgage to see what we could do to help.
We lowered his monthly payment by $587, reduced his term by 5 whole years, and allowed him to skip 2 mortgage payments. With Alabama Home Mortgage as his co-pilot, he was able to soar to new financial heights.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NLS 1586. 36-8, equal housing lender.
Come on, boy. Finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
The holidays are here, but thousands of families in the river region will go to bed hungry. Blue Water Broadcasting is doing something about it, and you can help.
Drop off non-perishable food items to Montgomery Eye Physicians or at the radio station.
Help stuff our Sprinter van full of food.
Montgomery Eye Physicians, helping you to see life clearly.
It's our holiday food drive. Donate what you can from Blue Water Broadcasting.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. We've been hearing in the first public testimony of the impeachment inquiry from acting Ukraine Ambassador Bill Taylor. He says about military aid being withheld from Ukraine this summer.
So what I know is the security assistance was very important to the Ukrainians. They had begun to hear from Ambassador Sondland that the security assistance was not going to come until the investigations were pursued.
Investigations into Joe Biden and 2016 election meddling. Gordon Sondland is ambassador to the European Union. Today's other impeachment witness is Deputy Assistant Secretary of State George Kent. President Trump says he hasn't been watching.
I'm too busy to watch it. It's a witch hunt. It's a hoax. I'm too busy to watch it. So I'm sure I'll get a report. There's nothing. I have not been briefed, no.
The president there with Turkey's president at the White House. The committee Republicans' attorneys questioning the witnesses. Now the Democrats win first. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Our little taste of the Arctic, call it a winter preview, continues today. After a frigid start to the day, we may recover to maybe low to mid-50s for a high temperature. If we're lucky, sunshine, not quite as windy today. Another freeze tonight, overnight low temperature down to about 31. Increasing clouds tomorrow, maybe some spotty rain possible in the afternoon, but a better chance on Thursday night, and then warmer by the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
This is fun. And what this is allowing us to do is we can cherry pick what we feel you need to hear so you don't have to go through the whole boring deal. When this is going to be Representative Turner, then it's going to flip over to Jim Jordan.
Amount of responsibility and not a lot of authority on to affect U.S. policy, bilateral engagements or multilateral engagements. You're trying to shepherd through issues with our allies. One example of that, Ambassador Taylor, is that you testified in your prior testimony that you have not had any contact with the President of the United States. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Ms. Taylor, Mr. Kent, have you had any contact with the President of the United States?
I have not.
So not only no conversations with the President of the United States about Ukraine, you've not had any contact with the President of the United States, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you both know that this impeachment inquiry is about the President of the United States, don't you? I mean, the man that neither one of you have had any contact with, you're the first up witnesses. I just find that a little amazing that the first up would be two people who've never had any contact with the president himself. Now, Kurt Volker did have contact with the president and contact with the president on Ukraine. Mr. Ambassador Taylor, you said that he's a man of highest integrity. Well, I know Kurt Volker, and I know, you know, he served as the NATO ambassador. He served as the director of the McCain Institute. He's the highest professional ethics, one of the most knowledgeable people about Europe. He's absolutely a truthful man. Mr. Kent, would you agree with Ambassador Taylor that he's of the highest integrity?
I believe Kurt Volker has served the U.S. as a public servant very well.
Do either of you have any evidence that Mr. Volker committed perjury or lied to this committee in his testimony to this committee? Do either of you have any evidence that Kurt Volker perjured himself or lied to this committee in his testimony? Ambassador Taylor, any evidence?
Mr. Turner, I have no evidence.
Ms. Kent?
I believe Ambassador Volker's deposition was over 400 pages, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't make a judgment.
But you have no evidence that he lied or perjured himself.
I have no basis to make that judgment, no, sir.
Well, we're not in a court, gentlemen, and if we were, the Sixth Amendment would apply, and so would rules on hearsay and opinion, and most of your two testimonies would not be admissible whatsoever. But I understand in your profession you deal in words of understanding, words of beliefs and feelings, because in your profession, that's what you work with to try to pull together policy and to go in and out of meetings to try to formulate opinions that affect other people's decision-making. Ambassador Taylor, have you ever prepared for a meeting with a president or a prime minister of a country where you were told one thing before you went into the meeting as to what it was to be about, and the meeting be about another thing? Or you get in there and the beliefs or opinions of the president or the prime minister were other than you believed?
Mr. Turner, you're asking if I ever learned something new in a meeting?
Have you ever
meeting?
Walked in with a belief that you thought about the country that you were serving in and find out that they were wrong?
I learn something in every meeting, Mr. Turner, but I, you know.
Ambassador Taylor, the reason why the Sixth Amendment doesn't allow hearsay is because it's unreliable. It's unreliable because frequently it's untruthful. It is not factual. It might be beliefs or understandings. Ambassador, you testified about a number of things that you heard. Isn't it true possible that the things that you heard were not true, that some of the beliefs and understandings that you had are not accurate, that in fact you're mistaken about some of the things that you testified today on a factual basis versus a professional assessment?
Ms. Turner, I'm here to tell you what I know. I'm not going to tell you anything I don't know. I'm going to tell you everything that I do know.
But since you learned it from others, But since you learned it from others, you could be wrong, correct?
I am telling you what I heard them tell me.
And they could be wrong, or they could be mistaken, or they could have heard it incorrectly. Right, Ambassador Taylor?
People make mistakes.
Right, so you could be wrong. I yield the rest of my time to...
Mr. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for yielding. Ambassador Taylor, the gentleman asked if you could be wrong. Were you wrong when you said you had a clear understanding that President Zelensky had to commit to an investigation of Biden's before the aid got released, and the aid got released and he didn't commit to an investigation?
Mr. I was not wrong about what I told you, which is what I heard. That's all I've said. I've told you what I heard.
And that's the point. What you heard did not happen. It didn't happen. You had three meetings with the guy. He could have told you. He didn't announce he was going to do an investigation before the aid happened. It's not just could it have been wrong. The fact is it was wrong because it didn't happen. The whole point was you had a clear understanding that aid will not get released unless there's a commitment. Not maybe, not I think the aid might happen, and it's my hunch it's going to get released. You use clear language, clear understanding and commitment, and those two things didn't happen. So you had to be wrong.
Ms. Jordan, the other thing that went on when that assistance was on hold is we shook the confidence of a close partner in our reliability. And that's
not what this proceeding's about, Ambassador
Taylor. The gentleman has expired. Ambassador
Taylor, not what this whole thing started on.
The time of the gentleman has expired. Ambassador Taylor, did you want to finish your answer?
No, that's good, Mr. Chairman.
I now recognize Mr. Carson for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman. I yield to the chairman.
We might need to go.
Thank the gentleman for yielding.
I can jump in.
I want to follow up on some of the earlier questions about... Dr. Winston.
Let's do this. If you'll go to the clips, there's a clip that is kind of germane to what we're talking about here.
I'm going
to
lose this.
Oh, you're going to lose that? Yeah. No. Don't do that then.
I got this next Republican, Dr. Winstrup, as they're saying, queued up.
Chairman, Mr. Taylor, this should be easy because I'm going to use a lot of your words from the previous deposition as we go forward. In your deposition, you spoke of support for Ukraine and its relationship to the United States and how much you support that. In 2014, you, and I'm quoting this, urged Obama administration to provide lethal defensive weapons in order to deter further Russian aggression. Did the Obama administration provide lethal weapons?
No, sir.
They provided MREs and blankets and things like that. In your deposition, you also said President Obama's objection was because it might provoke the Russians. And in fact, you testified in your deposition that the Obama administration didn't have a good argument since Russia had already provoked and they have invaded Ukraine. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
It's a shame he didn't take the advice of a combat veteran like you, sir. Someone who understands what deterrence provides. Because a lot of Ukrainian lives could have been saved if he had taken your advice. In your deposition, you said, and I quote, happy, you were happy with Trump administration's assistance. And it provided both lethal and financial aid, did it not?
It did, sir.
And you also stated that it was a substantial improvement. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
So now we're providing javelins, wow, which kill Russian tanks. MREs and blankets do not do that. Today you said, I was beginning to fear that the long-standing U.S. policy of strong support for Ukraine was shifting. I have a little trouble with long-standing based on what we just talked about, because it wasn't really long-standing strong support. It seems to me the strong support came with this administration. Would you agree with that, sir?
Great questioning.
Unless you consider MREs and blankets strong support, I wouldn't call it long-standing.
The long-standing that I'm referring to there, Dr. Winstrup, is the long-standing political support, economic support, and increasing military support.
Well, certainly that strong support came from Congress, but it didn't come from the previous administration as compared to what this administration has decided to do. The strong support came with this administration, not the Obama administration. And maybe now we understand what President Obama meant when he told Russian President Medvedev that he'd have more flexibility after his election. Maybe that flexibility was to deny lethal aid to the Ukraine, allowing Russia to march right in and kill Ukrainians. Again, in your deposition, you urged the Obama administration officials to provide lethal defensive weapons to Ukraine in order to deter further Russian aggression. And now they have that under this administration, don't they, Mr. Ambassador?
They have the javelins, yes, sir.
Thank you. And I would like to yield the remainder of my time to Mr. Ratcliffe.
Thank you. Let's put that on pause and let's go to JD. JD, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Very good, my friend, and you?
I'm going to tell you what, I have never laughed so hard in all my life as I have this morning, when they kicked off this whole thing. And I just want to say that every time Adam Schiff talks, I reflect back to Shrek when Pinocchio jumps up and says, I'm not a puppet, I'm a real boy, as his nose is growing. The man cannot tell the truth to save his life. He lies about one thing. He gets called out on it. He corrects it and states, yes, I did meet this guy. And then he turns around and lies about it again. I mean, everything they have seems really shaky right now.
Yeah, I tell you one thing. Adam Schiff is on his best behavior. He is trying to yield to the Republicans as much as he can.
But his questions, again, are so leading. And it's almost like I said it yesterday, Dan, that I had a tentative hope that Schiff, like, once again, is over-promising he's going to under-deliver. What you're saying, J.D., I haven't had the chance to sit and watch this whole thing. But what you're saying gives me that hope's been borne out.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what I don't know what the exact rules, laws, and regulations is on perjuring yourself in this environment that they're sitting in today. But I'm pretty sure that he is. Well, actually, I'm not pretty sure. I know he perjured himself when he said that he did not meet with the whistleblower because he said he did not meet with him. Then did an interview where he said he did meet with him, and then today said he did not meet with him again and does not know the identity.
I haven't heard the interview where he said he did meet with them. Where did that happen?
I think it was on NBC, ABC, one of the BCs.
You sure he didn't say his staff met with the whistleblower?
Well, he had to correct himself on actually talking to the whistleblower and knowing the identity. I shouldn't say met with him. I should say knowing the identity.
Okay.
He said he never knew the identity of the whistleblower, and then said, "Well, maybe I shouldn't have gone to terms at that length. I should have been a little bit more clear when he corrected himself on knowing the identity of the whistleblower." And then today says he does not know the identity of the whistleblower again.
Right, I heard that.
That's a point blank lie. I mean, either you lied on this date or you're lying today, but you've lied. I mean, I'm wondering if somebody's going to, go ahead and record that and it's going to come back to bite it.
Well, the only way, let me tell you, again, the ABC, NBC, and CBS Nightly News tonight is going to be really important because America's not watching this, contrary to what the Democrats want and what they thought was going to happen. America's not watching this. I have a pretty good sense of this. And so what America's going to get on this is what ABC, NBC, and CBS tells them it is. And if they play it down if they just play it down the middle, I'll be happy with it. And they use terms like maybe the Democrats didn't get the results that they wanted out of today. That would be very positive.
Well, they haven't got the results that they've wanted for the past 3 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the question is, will the media say that?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, hey, fellas, I got to run. I enjoy the show as always. I hope y'all have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. Thanks for the cell phone call. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Moore Show on a Wednesday. Let's continue on here.
So, no pressure, no demands, no conditions, nothing corrupt, nothing on the call. That's what we heard President Zelensky say. And because House Democrats' charges against President Trump have been publicly, repeatedly, consistently been denied by President Zelensky, you heard the defense now from Chairman Schiff. He's lying because he has to. He has to lie because the threats, the demands, the blackmail, the extortion that House Democrats are alleging, if he didn't do that, he couldn't possibly risk military aid. He would have to do anything he had to secure it. The problem with that, the hole in that argument is you have to ask yourself, what did President Zelensky actually do to get the aid? The answer is nothing. He did nothing. He didn't open any investigations. He didn't call Attorney General Bill Barr. He didn't do any of the things that House Democrats say that he was being forced and coerced and threatened to do. He didn't do anything because he didn't have to. I yield back.
That was Radcliffe. That was very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you both for your...
We're heading back over to the Democrats right now. If we play a clip, we lose the whole thing?
Yeah, I tend to think so, unless we go back to live. I'm going to lose my spot here. But I can jump to Chris Stewart pretty quickly, if you want to.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right.
It was more or less a rhetorical question. I will...
Congressman Chris Stewart.
Yield now to
from Utah.
Mr. Stewart.
Yep. Stewart, I'm sorry.
Thank you. To the witnesses, thank you. Time is precious, so I'm going to go very, very quickly. Welcome, I think, to year four of the ongoing impeachment of President Trump. I'm sorry that you have been dragged into this. I think the sign behind me says it very well. By the whistleblower's attorney, the coup has started and impeachment will follow. But after listening for what is going on now 4 hours and 21 minutes, after all of the secret hearings, after all of the leaks, after hearing witnesses such as yourselves give your opinions, it really comes down to this. One thing it comes down to. This is the transcript that the president has released of this phone call. There is one sentence, one phone call. That is what this entire impeachment proceeding is based upon. And I got to tell you, if your impeachment case is so weak that you have to lie and exaggerate about it to convince the American people that they need to remove this president, then you've got a problem. And the American people have been lied to again and again on this. We first heard a lot about quid pro quo. And then many people realized that was meaningless. So they said, let's go for the fences then. Let's talk about extortion. Let's talk about bribery. Let's talk about cover-up and obstruction, for which there is zero evidence of any of that. We heard a characterization of the president's phone call that was so outrageously inaccurate, it had to be described as a parody. And none of those things matter. None of it matters. It comes down to this. We appreciate your insight. We appreciate your opinion. But all you can do is give your opinion of this. This one phone call. Let me ask you, gentlemen, both of you have said here today, you've testified, corruption in Ukraine is endemic. Would we agree on that? Simple question. Problem is, isn't it?
It's a problem, and they're taking steps to address it.
Okay, earlier in the hearing, both of you said, use the word endemic or agreed to it. It's in the courts, it's oligarchs, it's prosecutors, it's everywhere. And I think we can also agree that that's not the only place in the world where we experience and see corruption. There's dozens and dozens of nations around the world that are steeped in corruption. Would you agree with that?
Mr. I would say that there's corruption in every country, including ours.
Okay, thank you. And some were clearly more concerned about than others. So in these corrupt nations, of which there are probably hundreds of corrupt individuals, hundreds of corrupt government officials, can you give me an example any time where the Vice President of the United States shows up and demands that a specific prosecutor be fired and gives them a six-hour time limit to do that? Are you aware of that ever happening any other place? I guess the answer is no. And I just think it's interesting that out of hundreds of corrupt individuals, dozens of corrupt nations, that happened one time. And it happened with the individual whose son was being paid by the organization that was under investigation. One other thing very quickly. If someone was a candidate for a political office, even for president of the United States, should they be immune from investigation?
No one is above the law, sir.
Thank you. I agree with that. I think we all would agree with that. And yet, I think some presume that because some of the individuals we're talking about here were candidates, that they are immune from any questions or any investigation. I think it's absurd. For heaven's sakes, if those of us in public office, those of us who have find ourselves up for re-election or all the time as a candidate, I think we have a higher standard, not immunity from asking these types of questions. The last thing, then, I'm going to yield my time. Availability of funds, I'm quoting from the NDAA in 2019, the language is specific. Availability of funds under assistance to the Ukraine, it has to be certified. And what has to be certified? Quote, for the purposes of decreasing corruption. Are you surprised that there would be questions about corruption in Ukraine and that it would be discussed withholding some of this aid that's actually required by law? That it be withheld if they can't certify that corruption has been eliminated or is being addressed?
The certification in that case is done by the Secretary of Defense upon advice of his staff in consultation with the interagency community. We were fully supportive of that conditionality, and the Secretary of Defense had already certified that conditionality had been met.
And so we agree that we should withhold funds if there's questions about corruption that have not been addressed. I'm going to yield my rest of my time to Mr. Jordan.
We're going to go to a break. Damo show on a Wednesday. We're going to be back after this brief break.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Ever feel kind of down and out and don't know just what to do? Living all of your days in darkness, let the sun shine through.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
The River Region's first and only News Talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
272-9228. That's where we are on a Wednesday. Okay, let's go back to some of the testimony. We think that we have Jim Jordan queued up here. See what he has to say.
Seconds, you're going to let that go? Thank you. In that case, I will yield back. Thank you.
Oh, he ran out of time.
Just quickly. So that certification, that took place in May. Is that correct, Mr. Kent?
Yeah, I'll jump to...
Do not believe it was certified by May. I would defer to my colleague, Gloria Cooper.
Well, gentlemen, yield, because none of those exceptions would apply to this testimony.
It's not the time for colloquy. Representative Stefanik, you're recognized.
Thank you. For the millions of Americans viewing today, the two most important facts are the following. Number one, Ukraine received the aid. Number two, there was in fact no investigation into Biden. Mr. Kent and Ambassador Taylor, you both spoke eloquently and passionately about the need to support Ukraine to counter Russian aggression, particularly during this very critical time. I agree with you in that assessment. And isn't it the case that the Trump administration has indeed provided substantial aid to Ukraine in the form of defensive lethal aid, correct?
That is correct.
And that is more so than the Obama administration, correct?
The Trump
defensive lethal aid.
Yes.
And in the transcript of the president's July 25th call with President Zelensky, President Zelensky tells Trump they are ready to buy more javelins. This is indeed the most effective weapon for fighting insurgent armor Russian tanks. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And those javelins were not made available to Ukraine under the Obama administration. The javelins were not made available.
They were not.
Correct. Shifting gears to corruption. One of the themes here today is that of rooting out corruption, which is an important tool for the president as we provide taxpayer-funded aid to foreign countries. Mr. Kent, you would characterize Ukraine as having long-standing corruption issues, correct?
I did.
And in fact, you testified, quote, I would say that corruption is part of the reason why Ukrainians came out to the streets in both 2004 when somebody tried to steal the election and again in 2014 because of a corrupt, kleptocratic, pro-Russian government which eventually collapsed. The Ukrainians decided enough was enough. Is that your testimony?
It remains so.
And you testified that you first came to learn about Burisma in 2015 when you were the senior anti-corruption coordinator, correct?
Correct. Detailed to the embassy in Kyiv is the acting deputy chief of mission.
And you testified that the issue of corruption in Burisma was in the U.S. interest because, quote, and this is from your deposition, we had made a commitment to the Ukrainian government in 2014 to try to recover an estimated tens of billions of stolen dollars of stolen assets out of the country. Is that correct?
That is a stolen assets that were in the name of the owner of Burisma, Mykola Zlochevsky. He was the one who we believed had stolen the money.
Sure. So the first case, this was the first case that the U.S., the U.K., and Ukraine investigator worked on was against the owner of Burisma.
That's correct.
And this was during the Obama administration.
That's correct.
So for the millions of Americans viewing, the first investigation against the owner of Burisma was under President Obama's administration.
That's correct.
You testified also, quote, we spent roughly $500,000 of State Department money in support of the FBI and this investigation to build capacity and track down stolen assets, end quote. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was launched in May 2014 by the Attorney General of the U.S. and U.K. In conjunction with the World Bank.
And in fact, by 2016, you were so concerned about corruption questions related to Burisma that when there was an effort by Burisma to sponsor an essay contest with USAID, you asked USAID to stop it.
That's correct.
And you testified that it was because, quote, Burisma had a poor reputation in the business and that you didn't think it was appropriate for the U.S. government to be co-sponsoring something with a company that had a bad reputation. Correct? You are also aware, and you testified today, that Hunter Biden served on the board of Burisma.
Correct.
And you also testified that you were indeed concerned about the appearance of conflict of interest.
That's correct.
And broadly, this is very important, you testified in your deposition that when the State Department evaluates foreign assistance, it is appropriate for them to look at levels of corruption in countries.
That's correct.
And lastly, you also testified that, and this is your quote, issues of corruption have been part of high-level dialogue between U.S. leaders and Ukrainian leaders, regardless of who is the U.S. leader and who is the Ukrainian leader, and that is a normal issue of diplomatic discussion at the highest level, end quote. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I will yield 30 seconds. You know what? I will yield back after that. Thank you.
Mr. Swalwell.
That was Stefanik, and
both of you. Who's really,
she's the young lady from, should we do Swalwell? Just for the
point? Oh, God. I don't want to.
No, please, please. That's Stefanik. That's the lady that introduced you all a couple of weeks ago. Young lady from New York, very conservative, very, very sharp, on the Intelligence Committee. Great questions. And did you see how she moved him down the road on that thing? Mm-hmm. And basically, Kent, what they're setting up here is that they're gonna get Biden at the corrupt Burisma, and that was not good, and get all of them to admit that. Watch. Shall we pick up a little more of this?
I don't think we have enough time here.
Okay. We're going to go to a top of the hour break, Dan Moore Show. Don't forget 2729. Oh, I've got to talk about a guy. Mm. John L. Sullivan, Southern Roofing. He's the guy who helped me out last time on my roof. Just helped me out with the leak that I had. This guy's a great guy. We have so much in common. It's scary. It's really scary. He's actually a descendant of the John L. Sullivan, the boxer.
Oh, wow.
I know. Southern Roofing. So, guys, you need anything roofing done, big, small, corporation, huge buildings. They're working in Troy State right now, downtown. 334-224-6476. 334-224-6476. I've got the number right here if you need it. Just call me at the show, and I'll give it to you. John Sullivan's a great guy. Going to be back after our top of the hour break.
The Dan Morris Show. So let it do.